for theme for this month is, in a way, it's slightly amorphous. So you could call it spiritual friendship. You could call it Kalyana Michta. You could call it the four tantric rites. And in, hopefully for all of that will be, there'll be a degree of kind of clearness that comes what those terms mean. But I suppose just to say a little bit more. So Buddhism places a great emphasis on the importance of human relationships. In a way, anything which is going to say anything of significance about being a human being is going to talk about human relationships, so, because they're such a central and defining aspect of our lives. Of course, when I use the term relationships here, in contemporary culture, relationship often comes to mean the kind of sexual romantic relationship. In this context, we're broadening that to mean any human connection, any human relationship. So Buddhism places a particular emphasis on the importance of, the centrality of human relationships to our experience of being alive. And it particularly, in talking about Sangha, meaning kind of spiritual community, its particular emphasis is placed on, what could be called friendship, most simply, like warm, human, relatively straightforward, relatively platonic relationships, where it's a relationship of significance and depth, which doesn't have a romantic sexual dimension to it, by and large. Of course, friendship is not to say that friendships, obviously friendships can, are present in romantic and sexual relationships as well. But yeah, there's a particular emphasis or interest placed on, where can kind of platonic friendship take us? What's the benefit? What can that do for us, as it were? What can it do for the world? So that's spiritual friendship. The four tantric rites is a relatively late Buddhist kind of model, which is just it's a way of exploring friendship. I suppose particularly one of the things you could say is that Buddhism being fundamentally pragmatic, it's more interested in how to be a friend rather than how many friends we've got or whether somebody is friends with us. So it's, in that sense, it's pragmatic, but of course also as a result of that, empowering and positive, because we can all, we can act, we can develop, we can strengthen friendships, we can forge friendships with new people, we can deepen friendships with those we're already in connection with. So from that point of view, the reason Triratna specifically emphasizes these tantric rites of friendship is because it's got this positive vision of the fact that we can influence, we can shape, we can create something between us. So this evening, Singamati was due to be giving this talk. Unfortunately, she's not so well. She's just got a bit of a sore throat and is losing her voice a bit, and kind of projecting her voice wouldn't have been good for her today. So we're doing a slightly unusual thing in that I'm going to do the presentation that she prepared, but I'm going to tell my own stories, which is, I've never done this before, so let's see how that goes. I think the structure she's got is a good one. Yeah. Anyway, there you go. That's the background behind it. So I'm going to talk. I'm going to talk for about 20 minutes, and then we're going to ping off into groups and have quite a long time in groups. One of the real benefits of Sangha night at any time is a context for communication to share our experiences, to explore ideas with other people, and of course, particularly in this time where many of us are experiencing a higher degree of separation, isolation, it feels all the more important to have an opportunity to communicate, to share, to explore with each other. So what I'm going to talk about is I've got four different headings to explore, and sneak peek, what I'm going to invite you when you break into groups to talk about each of these headings for yourselves. Of course, you won't have as much time to go into them as I am going to, but you can say something. So the first thing I want to talk a little bit about is talk about my own history of friendship. Of course, like I've just said, this thing about Buddhism says that friendship's really important. So even as soon as I've said that, you're going to have your own set of associations with what that word friendship means, your own set of experiences of both friendship in yeah, like all the different phases of your life and friendship for you today. So, you know, we've got to start off with saying, well, what does that, not so much talking about a definition of a word, but like your actual experience of friendship. So I'll talk about that. Then I'll say a bit more about Buddhism's, what Buddhism's got to say about friendship. Then I'll talk about, well, my encounter with friendship within the context of Triratna. And then I'll talk a bit about how the four tantric rites help me to, well, yeah, practice friendship, be proactive in friendship. So that's a quick overview. So starting off with my own, like a more autobiographical evocation of my own experience of friendship before coming into Triratna. And I suppose particularly sort of in the years immediately prior to coming into contact with Triratna, for me, that was in my late teens and early 20s, just around the time I was at university. So, So I suppose friendship in a way, you can't talk about friendship without talking about just how you relate to people in general, like for the experience of coming into a relationship in the world. So if I had to grossly generalize my experience, I would say that I was, on the surface level, I came across as quite a confident person, but behind that, there was quite a lot of unconfidence, shall we say. So how would I evoke that? I suppose, you know, obviously some of you know me quite well, some of you barely know me at all. You can be asking yourself, well, how much has this changed actually over the last 20 years? It's always an interesting question to ask oneself. But I would say that I was, my extroverted persona was quite confident, very confident to tell people what I thought about things. In a sense, quite confident meeting people for the first time, or kind of like the early moves of friendship, you could say, like the kind of getting chatting to somebody down the pub or whatever. Getting to know people, that all felt relatively easy. But underneath that, there was definitely a sense of, well, this sense that there's something wrong with me. And if people saw the real me, then I would be rejected. They would, like in a way, it's this sort of view that you think back on it. It's like, what did I think would happen? Got no idea. But nonetheless, it would be a bad thing if people were to see the real me, whatever that real me was, and whatever I thought would happen as a result of that. So yeah, so a sense of there being something, there being a twisted emotional mess inside or something like that. It's not like I thought I was a serial killer or anything like that. I suppose I just thought that I was unlovable. I suppose that, to put it most simply, I thought there was something inside of me that was unlovable. And if that was met, if that was seen, then it would not be loved. And that was the most terrifying thing. It's bad enough having something unlovable inside of you. Having somebody else witness it and then not love you was kind of world destroying, as it were. So that was one thing that was going on for me. And the other thing I would say was a sense of, although I was very confident, a sense of not quite, I suppose these two do connect actually, like not quite knowing who I was. I was a very kind of fluid person. I was the sort of person who found it very easy to get on with people, but you'd sometimes have this uncomfortable feeling that could kind of come back to bite me on the bum, because it's like, actually I say this to these people and I say that to those people. And if they start talking, it's like, who am I actually? So a bit of a sense of like a shapeshifter, or in a slightly negative light, it's like in a way, it's another expression of this absence of confidence that I would just kind of shapeshift. The phrase from my younger childhood was this idea of being two-faced. You say one thing to one person, you say something else to somebody else, and that can create a lot of strife. So that was the history I came into. That was my background coming into Triratna, my experience of friendship. So then, before I talk about my experience of friendship coming into contact with Triratna, we've got to say a bit more about what is friendship in, what does Buddhism say about friendship? So I'll cover that quite quickly. I suppose the first thing to say is it places great emphasis on the potential for universal positive regard. So the primary vision of Buddhism is non-exclusive. So all of us, quite understandably, quite humanly, experience a definite limit in our capacity for love and connection with other people. We don't know how far that limit goes, but it's definitely there's a limit. I cannot connect with everybody. I cannot be friends with everybody. I cannot love everybody. That is not possible. We might feel there's a limit to our own heart. Then might feel like there's a limit to our capacity to be interested in other people. But we feel there's a limit, I would argue. And Buddhism definitely says it doesn't have to be like that. It says, no, it's possible to, or the ideal is to be, to have universal positive regard for every human being you meet and enter into some, like, you can't be best friends with everybody you meet. You can't know deeply everyone you meet, but you can have, there can be a warmth of positive human relationship with everybody you encounter. And in a way, there's a particular core teaching of this, the Sikkhalavada Sutta, where the Buddha just talks about a whole kind of, he does it in terms of directions, a whole world of directions of friendship. So it's like you've got your parents in one direction, you've got the people you work with in another direction, you've got your friends in another direction, you've got your teachers in another direction. So it's a whole world of relationship. And the Buddha in that sutta talks about how we can be proactive, how we can cultivate positive relationships in all of those directions. Yeah, and then within Sri Ratna, we place a particular emphasis on the positive potential of platonic friendship as a vehicle for. Well, in a way, that gets interesting because it can be very utilitarian. You're friends with somebody because they help you grow or they make you feel good. In a way, part of it's just saying it's human and inherently it's its own good to be friends with somebody. You don't need to justify it. You don't need to say, oh, it helps me be a more psychologically adjusted human being. It helps me have support when I experience difficulty and grief. All of those things may be true, but actually there's just something. Humans are fundamentally relational creatures and it's just good to be friends. It's good. Blah, blah, blah. You can seek to justify that, but in a way one might not wish to. I suppose one thing, but just to kind of, one of the things Sangharakshita in his teaching is particularly keen to do is to kind of, is to draw a connection between our immediate, our present day experience and a more ideal or a more kind of spiritual vision. So one of the things he talks about in this regard is he says, well, of course, one of Buddhism's primary goals is as a transcendence of the limited self preoccupation that is human and natural to experience. And it's Buddhism spends a lot of time and energy going on and on and on about like no self or insight or wisdom, all of these different terms. It can get all of which usefully, but it can get quite heady and quite abstract. So he's asking, well, where is the most immediate direct expression of that movement beyond ourselves? And he would suggest it can be found in friendship. The expansion of ourselves, care and concern for someone outside of ourselves is a stepping stone into wisdom, a lived experiential stepping stone. So then my encountering, what happened as I encountered Sri Ratna? So I've got my own story of this kind of confident, but kind of something wrong inside person. You've got this vision of friendship within Buddhism and specifically within Sri Ratna. So what happened? What was it like for me coming into contact with Sri Ratna? I feel incredibly fortunate to have encountered a practice community where I can form deep and lasting and significant friendships. Like at this point in my life, 20 years in, aside from my parents, basically all the meaningful relationships in my life are centered around the practice of Sri Ratna. Of course, I've got friends from those times before, but I suppose partly it's just a process of aging, isn't it? I went to university with them. That was a long time ago now, basically. So what I found was a context to kind of really explore who I was and find myself on a deeper level. So particularly what I felt I experienced, it was the opportunity through meditation and learning about Buddhism and all of that, but actually for me, primarily through friendship, primarily through coming into a connection and relationship with people, an opportunity to kind of resolve that kind of the dividedness of the confident external and the fearful, messed up internal, and actually bring those two into a relationship and have those two meet, which was just such a gift. Actually, it was such a gift to meet people who were willing to invest for time and energy and interest in me to slowly, because it is, you know, it's scary being open, isn't it? We all know that. It's like it is a scary thing to, you know, to reveal parts of ourselves either through action or through words, which we fear that will be deemed unacceptable. It's scary to do that. We need to be sensitive and appropriate with ourselves as we go through that process, but just slowly over time doing that. And being met with kindness, being met with appreciation, with regard. Sometimes a certain amount of teasing about, you know, really? It's like, that, is that the baddest that you are? I thought you said you were a bad person. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just slightly like normal neurotic middle classness. Stop giving yourself such a hard time. But actually that was a useful little piece of teasing along the way. Anyway, one of the things is talking about friendship, particularly spiritual friendship, you can get this idea that it's all very serious and it's like, oh, we need to sit here and have a really serious conversation about our psychology and do some kind of spontaneous group gestalt therapy thing. Actually, it can just be hanging out with your mates and having a laugh. I remember one of my closest friends, a guy called Vidya Ricci, where it's going back some years now, we both had very intense and demanding jobs. Working for some of the most, we were PAs to some of the most significant teachers in Sri Ratna. So we spent a lot, they had a lot to do with each other. So we spent a lot of time sending emails to them on their behalf. And I would say, I've never asked him about this actually, but I would say we had like a year, maybe an 18-month period, where left to our lone devices, we didn't say a single serious word to each other because we were just drowning in seriousness. Like every day was like serious Buddhism and serious that and serious the other. And we just spent, like we just had this running joke of like that sort of like, that very kind of dry English, ironic, sort of sarcastic humor where everything said is said with complete seriousness, but actually with no serious intent whatsoever. And it's kind of like, it's a running joke thing. Maybe you're familiar with that form of humor. And I would say we had like 18 months where it was just one continuous joke. Every single interaction we had just carried on that joke, because that's what our friendship needed, actually. It's what both of us needed. We just need to chill out and be silly. How are we doing for time? So that was one part of my encounter with Tree Rat, and it was just like a real being met with kindness and seriousness, but that not having to be like heavy sort of pseudo-therapy all the time and just being silly with each other. And the other thing that I felt was the opportunity to have friendships based on a shared set of values and the power and depth and significance that can bring. So thinking of another couple of good friends who I kind of started my Sri Ratna journey with, and you know, we spent a lot of hours, particularly in the early days, doing the sort of free form talking about our kind of psychologies and all of that. But latterly, it's just been a delight to be with them, just doing something to benefit other people together. I just want to give you two images to evoke that. One of them was a few years ago, we were leading a retreat for young guys down at Padmaloka together. And one evening we were doing one of the rituals, and we just, you know, the bit where people come up and put candles on the shrine, and the three of us did it together. And I kid you not, it was, that moment was one of my happiest moments of that year. I just felt deeply and profoundly happy to be sharing my life with these other guys and doing something together for the benefit of the world. And we've And in a way, we never really talked about that moment, actually, because I know that they had the same experience. It was one of those moments. It's like, we don't need to talk about this, actually. We just have this moment of, we're doing this together. It's like we're doing something together. The satisfaction of that, very, very powerful. How are we doing for time? Good. So, yeah, Fen finally saying something about these four tantric rites, which we're going to be exploring over the next 4 weeks. So this is derived from kind of tantric, I'm not going to say that, I haven't got time. Anyway, it comes from somewhere and it's old. That's all you need to know. Therefore, it must be true. Ha ha. So there's four tantric rites, and they're associated with magic. So they come from this like magical kind of mysterious working with energy tradition. But actually, we can apply them quite pragmatically. So the first rite is the rite of prospering, of growing, of cultivating, of blessing. And in my own life, I suppose I think back to this guy, Harshaprabha, who's the first person I taught, who taught me to meditate. And he was just incredibly warm, unbelievable memory for people's names. It's like, it's insane, his ability to remember people's names. So just whenever, every time, you know, you come to Buddha Center twice and like 9 months later, you show up and he remembers you. And you just feel kind of like valued. It's like, God, I matter. Really encouraging, you know, this image of like encouraging, supporting growth. He really encouraged me to kind of jump in to Triratna, which I feel incredibly grateful to him for. Then the next rite is the rite of pacification. So pacification is, sometimes we're in a mess, sometimes we're upset, we're angry, we're hurt, we're in grief. Friendship has to be able to meet that, doesn't it? So I remember on a different retreat, it was a big retreat, like 120 people. I was one of the team leading it. And one of my good friends came up to me and said, I was in the middle of doing something and said, have you got a minute? And I was like, not really, is what I said to him, basically. I said, not really. And then he said again, have you got a minute? And like, I need you. And I looked at him and I was like, okay, you need me, actually. It's like, it doesn't matter what I've got to do. You need my time and attention. So we went off, and I had like 10 or 12 minutes before the next thing I had to do. So I took him to the room where the next thing was meant to be happening. And basically he just went into like full-on emotional meltdown mode. He was completely contained. He was like, oh, can I talk to you please? And I'm like, okay, let's go over here. As soon as we're in private, he was just like, he's in like emotional meltdown mode. It's like, yeah, blah, 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 relationships, all of that. And it was really intense. And suddenly I was thinking, oh my God, like I've got a whole bunch of people coming into this room in like 4 minutes and you're just like a puddle on the floor. And then suddenly he was like, I suppose this is the thing about fat pacification, because I was like, oh, we haven't got very much time now. And he just kind of rebuilt himself and he was okay again. It was like, it was remarkable actually, that ability to be like, I'm holding it together, but actually I'm in a real bit of emotional mess. It's like, okay, vent emotionality, put yourself back together. Okay, it was amazing. Really, really remarkable. And in some ways I didn't feel like I did very much. I just said, okay, I can listen to you. And I listened to him and he did all the work. But I suppose it's something about that, the ability to pacification in a way, it's the ability to be present with people when they're experiencing difficulty and for gift that can give. So then you've got the rite of fascination, which is, this is traditionally kind of like love magic. So it's bringing people in, enticing them, saying, come here, be with us. It's nice here. So I remember meeting a woman order member who was teaching a communication model. And there was something about her quality of communication that she brought, which I just found it really fascinating, I suppose. I just really wanted, It's like there was a quality of her interactions with people which I really wanted. I both wanted her to interact with me like that, but also I wanted to learn how to have that quality of depth and significance of communication with people. And I just felt really, in a way, and this is all of these rites, they can have a dark side, can't they? So she could have used that right to kind of suck me in and manipulate me and get me to do what she wanted. But instead she was just saying, yeah, okay, we can communicate like this. We can have a greater depth of communication. And actually I can help you learn how to do that with other people. So she wasn't, it wasn't sticky. It wasn't selfish. She was like, yeah, you can, you know, let's be fascinating. And then finally, the rite of destruction. So, sometimes what goes before has to end for something new to emerge. And that's part of friendship as well. You could say this is the grit in the oyster. It's for sticking in there when it's difficult. It's facing challenges. It's complex and it's challenging. I suppose I think of one particular friend who... I just have had a very, very difficult and complicated friendship with over the decades. And it's gone through so many different phases and, it was a real opportunity for me to realize how much I project onto other people and the need to, in a way, the core of it was he had a propensity to kind of anger and frustration. And I found those emotions very difficult to own for myself. So I just projected onto him, which then made him the bad guy, which then goes really badly when you do that with people, if you hadn't noticed. And it was a real challenge for me to learn to own my own irritability and not put it onto him for actually to allow us to be friends. And in a way, it's an interesting note to finish with, because that friendship is just, it's had so many phases over the decades. And it's like, in a way, friendship, the story of friendship never ends. It's like these other stories I've said, like, oh, this is it. This is how it's been. And it's like, actually, they keep on changing and growing and unfolding. Probably you've noticed that in your own friendships. It's like they can just go through different phases, different stories. So that's a very quick kind of whiz around friendship. In a way, I suppose what I've sought to evoke here is, well, say something about, well, the importance of bringing awareness. I suppose maybe I need to draw this out more explicitly. It's really useful to be aware of what our own story of friendship and relationship is coming into relationship with Trivatna, because that will manifest when we get here. So it's really useful to bring some awareness to that. So that's the first thing I said. Then I talked a bit about Buddhism's vision of a real university, a real breadth of friendship and the capacity to have a deep, some kind of depth of connection with everyone, whilst also recognizing that you can't be completely, deeply close with everyone. It's not possible. Then I spoke a bit about my own journey into friendship within the context of Trivatna. And then finally, I've just tried to evoke these four rites of friendship. And I suppose, and maybe I could have drawn that out more, is a sense of in each of those cases, it's like there's you can do that. You know, like Harshaprabha, he welcomed me. He did that. I took the time to listen to my friend when they were upset and they needed an ear. I did that. So on and so forth. We can do this. We can cultivate these qualities and thereby deepen and strengthen our own relationships.